nice it is outside and the weather and coming to church on a Saturday night, you must really love him. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, go to Romans 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Before I pray, I just want to mention Tuesday service will be a big service for us in the sense that this past week I was at three services and the Fredonia Family Church for camp meeting, and I got direction, you know, that is going to help this church, going to help your lives personally. There's a mandate on this ministry that we're going to talk about. We mentioned it a little bit in a Tuesday service we had a few weeks back. Might have been a couple months now. I can't remember. I get so many services mixed together. But where we talked about the miracles, the signs, and the wonders. And that's not just something we thought up. You know, first of all, it's the will of the Lord and his word. You know, he's the God of the miracle, signs, and wonders. The miracle, signs, and wonders are the dinner bell for salvation. That's our main goal, is get people saved here. Take people from darkness into light. You know, there's so many people that just don't even know that God's good and has a plan for them, and we just want to get people saved. You know, you don't have to go to Africa to find the unsaved. If you're called there, go there. But, you know, you just go to Allegheny, you just go to Walmart, go to Olean, go to Jamestown. You know, they're all over the place. And we want to get people turned on to God. Well, in the Bible, Jesus got people turned on to himself through the signs and the wonders. The apostles got people turned on to Jesus through signs and wonders. And the same way we're going to get people turned on to Jesus is through the power of God. Amen? And, you know, the power of God didn't just fall everywhere. You know, the churches I grew up in, there was no power of God. The churches that Courtney grew up in, there was no power of God. And a lot of the churches my family members grew up in, there was no power of God. There were no signs, wonders, and miracles. There were no salvation calls. There were no healings, you know. In fact, it was the same people over and over again. Nobody getting born again. Nobody being set free. People going through the same things. That is not what God's word says that he wants for people. That's not what the book of Acts looked like, you know. And so if it's God's will for the power to fall, but it's not falling everywhere, well, what's the disconnect? Well, the disconnect's on our end, and there's things that we can do about that. And I got direction so clear in my heart this past week. And this Tuesday we're going to be sharing that and talking about it because you have a role in this.
Amen.
If you think this is the Pastor Mike show, you're wrong. It's not the Pastor Mike show. In fact, Jesus, when he was in his own hometown in Mark chapter 6, the Bible says he couldn't even do everything that he wanted to do. He wanted to do different things but couldn't do it. And it wasn't because God was off his game. It wasn't because Jesus, who was the minister, was off his game. The Bible says Jesus marveled at the people. He marveled at their actions, their behavior, the way that they were. And so because of the way the people were, it squashed or hindered the move of God in that region or in that church, in that area, you could say it that way. And so it doesn't matter that God wants to do a work here in Allegheny and Cattaraugus County. It doesn't matter that Pastor Mike is sold out to this and wants to do it. We'll fast and pray and seek God and pray. This doesn't matter. How many know Jesus was spiritually on top of his game?
Yeah.
If the people are not on board, you know what? We're not going to fulfill what God has for us. And I got direction this past week and things. And so we're going to be sharing about that and also sharing the mandate that's on this ministry. Not that Pastor Mike thought up. God's been dealing with me for years about it. But we've had other ministers that don't even know me that have picked it up in the spirit about what's concerning, what's going to flow in this ministry. But just because it's God's will and God's plan and God's desire doesn't mean it'll come to pass.
Yeah.
God desires for the whole world to be born again, not one person to go to hell, but yet people are going to hell every single day. And it's not because he wants that to happen. It's because there's not a cooperation with his plan. So we need to cooperate around here. We have such, and I don't want to get into it because we'll get into it Tuesday, but we have such a responsibility to the unsaved, to the body of Christ, to the kingdom of God, to do our part to make sure that God's plan comes to fruition in this area. Amen? It isn't about man's plans or man's ideas. I mean, we get one shot at this, and we got to make it count. And so Tuesday will be that service, and I'll also be sharing some of the videos of the ministers over the years that have ministered to me. And again, when you see that, that's not Pastor Mike promoting Pastor Mike. This isn't the Pastor Mike ministry. We're promoting God and his plan. But God always works through people, you know. God always does his plan through people, and there is a catalyst and a minister. And so I'll gladly do that. You know, I saw the Bible where he used a donkey, so I thought, my goodness, I think I qualify. I've been called that before, you know, a donkey, and maybe not such a nice way, but he used a donkey, he'll use me. I'll be glad to do it and give him the glory. So Tuesday night, if you can't be here, I know people work and have commitments. At least get on live stream, listen to it live, or go back in the archives, because every single one of us in this body has a part to play. And so we'll be showing some of that, getting you stirred up a little bit, and show you what the Lord revealed to me. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let's pray for tonight. We got a service to get to tonight. Father, help us. Lord, I don't care what I think's a good service or what I want to do. Lord, it's always about you. Father, you know what the people need to hear. You know what the people are going through and facing. And so, Father, I thank you that when I open my mouth, you're going to fill it with words from heaven. Father, I declare that I will speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank you that it'll be preached with boldness and utterance, and bullseyes will be hit in people's hearts. And when I say that, what I mean, Father, is that you're going to say things through me that are exactly what people need to hear and pertinent to the life, their life, and the season and the circumstances that they're facing right now. Father, that's how you do things, supernaturally. So I thank you, Lord. We look to you tonight. We declare you're the vine. I'm just a branch. I don't think of myself to be higher than anything that I know that I am. I'm a branch. Apart from you, I can do nothing. Anything good that comes out of my life, Father, out of this ministry, is only because of you, Father. I've seen it. I've been on the other side of the fence when I did not have you, Lord, and it was not very impressive. It wasn't much to write home about. So, Father, you get the glory. You get the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I'm not going to spend time reviewing except for this one verse, because last week was a service that tonight is part two. Last week was still part of our series about being led, but this is almost part two of last week's series. So we've been talking about being led by the Holy Ghost. Why? Because in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, the Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Well, we've looked at in this series that God desires to lead you, right? Proverbs 3 invites you. It says, "Acknowledge me in all your ways. Lean not, and I'll direct your paths." And we said, do we want God directing our paths? Well, we sure do. He said in Ephesians 2:10 that he's got paths that are the good life, prearranged, ready for us to live. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the plans or the path or the purposes I have for you, declares the Lord, to prosper you, give you hope of future." He leads beside the still waters. He leads beside the green pastures. So we want God leading us. Isaiah 48 says he leads us to prosper, teaches us how to prosper. He shows us what we need, shows us things to come. So yes, you want God to lead you, but how's God leading in the New Testament? He's leading by the Spirit of God. And we saw that when you get born again, your the real you, the spirit man of you, was recreated, born anew. Remember? He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God. For if any man be in Christ, what? He is a new creation. Well, when you got brand new, your body didn't change, your mind didn't change, but your spirit became brand new. You were born anew. Again. Hallelujah. And the Bible says when you got born again, not only did your spirit man change, but the Spirit of God. Remember, Jesus said, "I got to go away because I'm sending the Spirit of God on the earth, the Comforter, you know, the Helper, the Standby, the Advocate." He said that He'll dwell with you, but that He'll also be in you. So you have God on the inside of you. And we see in the Word that what happens is the Spirit of God bears witness or communicates with our spirit what God is saying. So when we don't know what to do in our marriage, we don't know what to do in our finances, we don't know what to do with our kids, we don't know what to do in our business, we can't seem to get past this, we're confessing healing scriptures, you know, and standing on the Word, and we just don't know. The Bible says God has the answers. And the Holy Ghost will hear, the Bible says, what God is saying, and then relay it to our spirit, and then what? We're led by the Spirit of God. What? The Spirit of God relates to our spirit and enlightens us, and then if we do what is said, that the Holy Ghost is saying, we'll be blessed. Why? Green pastures, still waters, prosperity, blessing, peace, not evil. And so we endeavor to learn to follow the Holy Ghost. That's how God's leading. Many Christians are led by their thoughts and their emotions and their feelings and opinions and money. That's not what God's in. God's in the Spirit leading business. And it pays to obey. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord, it will make you rich." What's that word rich mean? Well, that just doesn't just translate in your pocketbook. How many of you know there's a lot of people on planet Earth that have more money that they can shake a stick at and more money they can need for 10 lifetimes, and I would look at them and say they're prosperous? Depression, addicted to things, their family's a mess, right? Sickness in their body. And so when he's talking about richness, it does translate financially, but he's talking about peace of mind, blessing in your body, praise God, favor, protection. It pays to obey. God's way is best. And the way God's doing it, to get onto his path and his way, is by the Spirit of God. And so we talked about last week I said one of the greatest ways, if you'll remember, that you can get your spirit sensitive. Because if God is talking to our spirit man, and I didn't even mention this last week, but do you remember when Elijah was spending time with the Lord, and God said to him, he said, listen, Elijah, I'm not in the fire. I'm not in the earthquake. I'm in the still, small voice. Well, that still, small voice is speaking to our hearts. And guess what? Our flesh can be very loud. Especially when you're going through something that you want or that's going through something that's hard, your flesh is just crying out, get me out of that or get me into that. Your mind is crying out, get me out of that or get me into that. And it can be so loud that the voice of God is in the spirit man is so small that you can't decipher what's God, what's not God. Is that my feelings? Is that the spirit of God? Is that my thoughts? Is that circumstances? What's God, what's not God? Well, God doesn't want you to be confused. And one of the greatest ways that I told you, we'll even back it up more here tonight, that you can be sensitive to the spirit man is by praying in other tongues. And we talked a lot about that last week, and so we're going to pick up. I'm not going to flip there for time's sake, but I'm just going to, the only review I'm going to do is that from last week there, about Mark chapter 16, Jesus said concerning tongues, because when you say that word, so many stereotypes, so many feelings, so many thoughts are conjured up by that. And I know I was on the other side of the fence of tongues. I thought, wow, that's crazy. That's not for me. And thank God I was willing to get my mind renewed to the Word. You know, there's things at times, I can't stress this enough, that if you're going to be a Bible-believing, Holy Ghost, gospel-following Christian, there are times you're going to encounter things that are very uncomfortable to your mind and uncomfortable to your flesh. Why is that? Is that scriptural? Yes, it is. The Bible says over there in 2 Corinthians, the things of the Spirit are foolishness to man. Because the things of the Holy Ghost or the Word were not meant to be comprehended mentally. Think about your salvation. You didn't get mentally saved. You can't figure that out mentally. It makes no sense. But your spirit, with your spirit man, nobody can talk you out of that salvation. But if you really start to think about this whole Jesus business up here, wait, what am I believing? Wait, he was perfect, and he was born of a virgin, and he never sinned, and he was on the cross, and when he was on the cross, the sins of mankind were on him, and then he died and went to hell and rose from the dead? Come on. That's what my head says, but my heart says, you can't talk me out of that. Well, it's not discerned in my mind. It's not discerned in my flesh. It's discerned in my spirit. Hallelujah. And so there's going to be times you're going to encounter things that are uncomfortable. And so many people have been disqualified. I've watched it. I almost was disqualified because I was almost disqualified from the move of God and the Holy Ghost because I encountered things I was uncomfortable with. I did not ever see people getting excited in church and rejoicing and shouting. It was okay at the Ralph Wilson Stadium. Didn't criticize that. But when people were happy and jumping and running and shouting and being excited for salvation, that was weird. It's backwards. We ought to be more happy than the Bills fans. More joyful than the Bills fans. Rejoice, the Bible says. Shout unto God. Amen. Jumping, rejoicing, and leaping. It's all in there, you know. And I didn't realize that. Laying on of hands and speaking in tongues. That was all backwards to this Methodist boy. Amen. I'm telling you what, I thought when I came into the church I came into, I said, surely I took a wrong turn and I've ended up in the granola section of the grocery store. Which y'all know the granola section of the grocery store, the fruity, the flaky, and the nutty. But then I thought, no, the only fruity, flaky, nutty one there was me. I had to get my mind renewed. And when it comes to speaking in tongues, who cares what a pastor thinks? Who cares what a certain sect of Christianity thinks and another one that's totally against it, ones that are totally for it, some that are unsure? It only matters what the Bible says. The Bible's God's thoughts on the matter. And Jesus said in Mark 16, you can go back last week and get a more detailed on this review that I'm doing. But Mark 16, Jesus said, they that believe shall speak with new tongues. What's that mean? A language that's never been heard before. It's not French. It's not Swahili. It's not. It's not English. It's not Japanese. It's not Portuguese. It's a new tongue. That's what Jesus said about the matter. And then we saw Paul, the apostle, who was used by the Lord to write 2/3 of the New Testament. We're still living off his revelation. He said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than y'all. Well, when he says more than y'all, who's he writing to? A whole church. He says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. He wasn't shy about it. He wasn't ashamed of it. He was really kind of boasting about, I do this all the time. Well, what's that saying? There must be something to it if the apostle, the greatest apostle that ever lived, is bragging about it, right? There must be something to it. And then we saw over there in Acts chapter 1. Let's flip there real quick. Jesus said this in Acts chapter 1. Let's go to verse 4. What did Jesus say about this subject? Remember, he said they'll speak with new tongues, but he said being assembled together with them. Now, the them there in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, are people that are born again. They're heaven bound. How did you get saved? You confessed Jesus was Lord and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's how a person gets saved. How do you think the disciples got saved? They didn't get an exemption card because they traveled around with Jesus. When he died and rose again, the only way into heaven is what? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Romans 10, 9, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, how did they get saved? They didn't get the exemption card from traveling around with Jesus because it's not acknowledging Jesus that gets you into heaven. The devil acknowledges Jesus. It's the confessing that you believe in him and that he died and rose again. That's the faith part of it. And so they had to confess and believe the same way we did. Well, he's appeared to them after he's died. This is after he's died, risen from the dead. He's appeared to them. So they had it easier than we do, right? Naturally, in being able to see it. And the Bible says that he appeared to them. Who's them? Already saved people. Already people that have believed in the risen Lord, have made him Lord and Savior. And so he commanded them. Man, what? When you read that, it's not some obscure doctrine that the Pentecrazies and the Charis Wackos. That's what they accuse us of being, charismatic and Pentecostal. Oh, biblical, I'm sorry. Now, I'm not saying people have not gotten into excess. And I'm not saying people have not gotten into swinging from the chandelier services all the time and there's never order, never teaching. Because there's divine order in every service. God has a plan for every service. And it's not swinging from the chandeliers and everybody rolling around the floor and people speaking in tongues all the time and the minister getting up and just speaking in tongues. That's the ditch that's over here that turns people off from it completely. But it's also not God to be over in the ditch that says, that Holy Ghost business, we're not so sure about that. We'll just never talk about it. Amen? Because Jesus said something about it. He commanded them, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. He said, wait for it. Which saith he, you've heard me. Well, what's that promise, Jesus? We already got saved. I thought saved is the best promise. It's the one you need the most as far as for your eternity. But you don't need salvation for your time on earth. Now, let me qualify that. You need it to be a child of God to access the promises of God. But the main portion of salvation is not even for this life. It's for the afterlife. So what's he going to give his people for this life? He's going to give them something. He's going to give them this. John truly baptized with water, but you born-again Christian, will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Well, if they got baptized with the Holy Ghost, he commanded them, why do we think we're any different? And in verse 8, he says, you shall receive power. That word power is the Greek word dunamis. It means supernatural, miracle-working, dynamic power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So he says, if you go out into the world run by the devil, before you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I just want you to know you're going out with power. And because I love you so much and care about you so much, and because my kingdom, you going out and defeating the works of darkness and progressing my kingdom depends on it, don't you dare leave without this. It's not just about your life being void of power. It's about your life as a Christian bringing the power to the kingdom being void of power. And so he commanded them. Well, what happened in Acts chapter 2 is when it happened. And it said Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound of heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the place where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So that's what Jesus said, filled with the Holy Ghost. That word baptized in the Holy Ghost just means filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what happened. And they were filled. And we saw last week, I don't have time to teach it, that you can't separate the filling from the and. They were all filled and began to speak with other tongues. You go through the Bible in the book of Acts. Paul came upon certain disciples that he believed were born again. And he said, did you get the Holy Ghost too? He said, we don't even know there was a Holy Ghost. And remember when the Gentiles received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Peter said, hey, they got what we got. Well, how do you know you got the Holy Ghost? Does the Holy Ghost look like Abby? Well, what's Abby do? She throws a white sheet over her head and runs around my house. Says, I'm the Holy Ghost, Dad. I'm the Holy Ghost. I saw the Holy Ghost. Finally saw the Holy Ghost. I had a discerning of spirits. The Holy Ghost running through my house. I saw the Holy Ghost. He's about this big and goes around the corners real fast. Likes to eat a lot. Does his own thing a lot of times, you know. Has to be reeled back in a lot. That's the Holy Ghost. And how do you know the Holy Ghost? You can't see the Holy Ghost. Peter said, oh, I know they got it. Acts chapter 10 tells us they got the Holy Ghost. How? Because they heard him speak with tongues. They said, oh, tongues is the evidence. That's exactly what happened to us, they're saying, right? Amen. It's in there, praise God. You can't separate then filling from speaking in tongues. So Jesus, in essence, is saying, don't be a non-tongue-talking Christian. If you are, you're powerless. Ouch, Pastor Mike. I didn't say it. The king did. Take it up with the king, man. Don't take it up with me. Just smile at me and hug me and tell me you love me and I'll believe it. I'll just believe it. I don't care what you're thinking, you know. I'm telling you the truth. That's what Jesus said. He said, don't leave home without it. So we're going to see here tonight, praise God, why it enables us. We're going to see not only the benefits, it's going to be kind of mixed together, the benefits of praying much in other tongues, but also why and how does it cause our spirits to be more sensitive? Because that's the claim I made. And your spirit needs to be sensitive because there's times that you might want to do something that your flesh likes and your mind likes. And so your flesh and your mind get real excited and loud. But God is trying to warn you to stay away from that. And if your spirit's little and not sensitive and you haven't developed your spirit, God's going to be saying, no, 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 in that still small voice. And your mind's going to be like, yes, loud with a megaphone. And your flesh is going to be like, yes, with a megaphone. And your spirit, the still small voice. See, God's not going to change his ways because of you. Yeah. He's not going to do that. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, he'll just send me an angel. He didn't send an angel to Lot and tell him not to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't do it, and Lot made a bad choice by not following God. And so we need to have our spirits developed. There might be times that you don't want to do something that God's leading you into that you can't see the blessing on the other end of that, and your flesh is loud and saying, no, don't do it, and your mind is saying, don't do it. And because that's how you feel and that's what you think, and your spirit's saying, that's the way, that's the way, that's the way. And we looked at precedents in the Word that you got to learn to follow the Holy Ghost. And so we'll see tonight about praying in tongues, why that makes our spirit more sensitive and how that helps us. Amen? Amen. Well, go with me to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Okay, there it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Look what the Bible says. Paul writing, he says, and the very God of peace sanctify you holy. So he's talking about you. He says, I pray God your. So he's talking about you. Your whole spirit and soul. What does that mean? They're separate. And then it says, and body. So he's talking about you, but he says, you are a three-part being. Did you know that? You're a three-part being. Spirit, soul, mind, will, and emotions, and body. You're not just one being. You're spirit, soul, body. They're separate beings. Now, here's the thing. With the spirit being the eternal person, the spirit being the real you, the spirit, the one's going to live forever. All three of those things are going to endeavor to lead you. Your mind will endeavor to lead you, which is your soul. Your body or your flesh is going to endeavor to lead you. And your spirit's going to endeavor to lead you. But we see God's only in one of them. So we got to be led by the Spirit, right? So why then would praying in tongues, why would that make us more sensitive to the Holy Ghost? Well, here's what you have to understand about praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is a spiritual exercise. What do you mean? Well, if you understand exactly what praying in tongues is, it will help you with the ooky, the spooky, and the kooky. I remember my friend that got me filled with that told me about the Holy Ghost. I got filled in my apartment on Water Street in Fredonia, but Reverend Randy Nelbone, he's out of the Jamestown Church, serves Pastor Tim in that church, and he's what led me to Jesus. And I said, he was telling me about this tongues business. I said, I just want to hear you pray in tongues. You know, I sat like a spectator and watched him do it. I said, I think I'll pass. I don't understand a word you said. That's just weird to me. It sounds like you just made up a bunch of words. And so I had to get my mind renewed to the Word about it. But when I found out what is speaking in tongues, It clears things up for you. It brings peace. It brings a calmness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we find out what that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians 14, 14. Paul tells us right here what praying in tongues or speaking in tongues is. He says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit..." Well, we just talked about that you had a spirit, and we've established that it's the spirit that's eternal. Amen, Pastor Mike. Thank you for helping us. You're welcome. Glad to do it. My pleasure. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth." So what is speaking in tongues? Is it some made-up babble language that just the charismatics and the Pentecostals do because they want to be that portion of Christianity? They want to be that excited group of people that take this to a step further and are just this weird group and that's for them? No. What is praying in tongues? It's praying from the real or the center of who you are. Do you see it? My spirit prayeth. When you pray in English, your spirit's not praying. You're praying from your mind. Now, I'm not saying those prayers aren't powerful and effective. If you pray scripturally, they are powerful and effective. But you can only go so far in the mental realm. What are you supposed to do when all of a sudden somebody in another country or a family member that you can't get a hold of, or something comes up with your kids or a situation at work, and you don't know what to do? You can't figure out how to... Because how many of you know the Bible says that only the Word of God prayers are heard by Him? 1 John 5 and verse 14 says this is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask according to His will, He hears us. According to His will is His Word. Well, if you get a situation, you don't know what they're going through, how can you know to pray out God's will? Do they need money? I just have it on... Lord, you just laid on my heart that so-and-so is going through something. Do they need healing? Do they need peace? Are they in danger? Do they need protection? What are you going to do? You can only go so far in the mental realm. And you can only say so much in the mental realm. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's what we're going to help you with here tonight. So he says, my spirit prays. Now go to verse 2 of the same chapter. Chapter 14 and verse 2. "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but unto God." You know that besides faith, my favorite thing to preach on is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. I love it. Oh, I love it. Because it'll change your life. Oh, you just want your church to look a certain way. You're right, the Bible. I want to look like the Bible. I want to look like the book of Acts, man. They got things done. And that's what we're talking about Tuesday night. Why did they get things done? And you hear of other places getting things done. But like Pastor Michael said, we look around, where are these things that we're supposed to be seeing that have been prophesied? Yeah. Well, we're going to find out. We're going to get them. Amen? Yeah. We're going to get them, praise God. And so, anyways, that's why I sent that slick text out on Monday. I think it was Sunday or Monday night. I sent it right out and said, you know, we have direction. We have marching orders, and so we're going to get it done. But anyways, it says in 1 Corinthians 14, 2, "He that speaks in his own tongue doesn't speak unto men, but unto God." Well, think about it. If you're praying from your spirit, who is God? God's not natural. He's the Father of spirits. He is a spirit. The Bible says He's a spirit. Well, your spirit's talking to Him. It says, "Howbeit in the spirit," in the spirit. So what is praying in tongues? It's a spiritual exercise. Now, if you're super carnal, still not going to make sense to you. If you're super just analytical, you know, some of the hardest people I've ever had to get healed, get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost are the real smart ones. It was easy for me because I'm dumber than a box of rocks naturally. I just am naturally. Now, that's not me putting me down. I now have the mind of Christ. I can do all things through Jesus. But I'm telling you what, when I prayed this earlier today, what was before Jesus was not very impressive. I thought the best thing I could do was play baseball. And that's about all my contribution to the world that I had that was any good, and that didn't do anything for anybody. Amen. Not very eloquent, don't have education. I think I got a little common sense, but maybe just a little. Sometimes I do things, I think, what in the world was I thinking? But anyways, if you're carnal and you're natural or you're intellectual, tongues was never, the Bible says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And Jesus said, but this, John chapter 7, He spake of the Spirit. Tongues was never supposed to get to your brain. It was always supposed to come from your heart up and out your mouth. Never supposed to get up here. And you start getting up here with it, and you'll be confused. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that if he that when I pray in an unknown tongue, he said, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. You're not supposed to understand it. It's to your natural mind and your ears, which your ears are your flesh, your natural mind, your thoughts. It's supposed to confuse you. It's supposed to make you feel uncomfortable. It's going to confuse you. It's going to make you feel uncomfortable. Why? It's not supposed to get up to here. It's supposed to get from here and out and understood spiritually. So we'll be able to help you with some of those things. But anyways, it engages the real us. It's a spiritual exercise. Now, I want you to see with this being a spiritual exercise how it helps us. If you go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, Romans 8 and verse 13, so now it's cleared up forever for you. What is that speaking in tongues business? It's praying from your spirit man. But why would I want to pray for my spirit man? Because that's the man that's going to live forever. Amen? I mean, you might really like that body of yours and how you look. You better get all the looks at it you can in the mirror because that thing's passing away. I'm telling you, that thing is passing away. Amen, it is. It's not going to be with you forever. That's just the shell in the earth suit that God gave you. And for some reason, God put my spirit in the short line. I'll give him the short spirit suit. I don't understand. I'm going to take that up with him when I get up there. Why, Lord? Why, Lord? Oh, man, I'll tell you, I wish I'd have been about 5'10". I think I'd have hit the ball farther. I'm telling you, I think I would have. You don't see a whole lot of 5'4", 5'5", guys in the major leagues. You just don't. But anyways, Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. It says, for if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. What's he mean? If you follow the carnality, if you're a Christian that lives by the natural man, it's not going to lead to anything good for you. Do you see that there? You live after the flesh, you're going to die. It's not going to turn out good for you. But if you, now look at this, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. One of the ways you can mortify or kill or put down or squash the deeds of the flesh is through the Spirit. Well, one of the things of the spiritual exercises you can do this, and we'll prove it in the next verses, is by praying in other tongues. When you pray in other tongues, what you are doing is you are now not yielding to the carnal man. Why? It's not a carnal exercise. You are now not yielding to the mental man. Why? It's not a mental exercise. When you pray in tongues, we've just established, it's a spiritual exercise. So when you're praying in tongues, you're yielding to that realm. The realm that the Bible says that you'll actually live and be blessed from, not the flesh realm. Most Christians are carnal buckets. If it feels good, yes. If it doesn't feel good, the answer must be no. If it doesn't sound good to my mind, it doesn't look good to my checkbook, it doesn't fit into my schedule, and is it convenient for me, that can't be God. That's a carnal bucket. And the Bible says you live that way, it's going to lead to death. What's that mean? Destruction, lack, not the abundant life. Well, you can put those deeds to bed by following or by mortifying through the Spirit, a spiritual exercise, a spiritual living. Well, what's spiritual living? Praying in tongues is spiritual living. Now, I'll help you with this. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. You're going to see this. How many of you know that the Bible says in 1 Timothy, we don't need to turn there, chapter 4 and verse 8, it says that bodily exercise profits a little bit. But then it goes on, it says, but godliness. And it talks about how it's much better than bodily exercise. Doesn't mean you don't exercise. But it's saying, in comparison, godliness or spiritual things trump natural things. But how many of you know you can go to the gym, and if you have small biceps, you can do something about that. So, man, I sure would like my lats to be bigger. I sure would like my thighs and my calves to be bigger. You can do something about that. Go into the gym and just start doing these with your calves. Oh, they'll get bigger. Works. You know, wait till you see me in shorts someday. I just have the biggest calves. I don't know what the Lord was thinking when he made me. He said, you know, this is the, I think I was the one on the shelf that he said, you know, we got to use it. Just give it to this guy. Just give it to this guy. You know, I went skiing one time in my life and I couldn't get, I'll just show you. Look at these things. I could not get the ski boot around my legs. It ruined the whole trip for me. It's a true story. Cut the circulation. I said, I'm done with this. I went in the ski shop and just drank hot cocoa. Last time I ever been skiing. It's a true story. So I don't need to do the calf raises. But, you know, I could get a bigger biceps. I'll take that, you know, and bigger back muscles. Well, you could go to the gym and work that out. How many of us doesn't grow and get bigger unless you do something about it? Well, your spirit man needs to get bigger. Why? Your flesh is loud. Your flesh is big. Your mind is loud and big. Well, it says in 1 Corinthians 14 in verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth. You know what that word edify means? Like an edifice, to rise higher and higher. That word edify means to charge or build up. So the Bible says when you take time to pray in tongues, you're charging or building yourself up. But we know it can't be talking about mentally. It's not a mental activity. It can't be talking about physically, because if it was that, man, I'd skip the treadmill and skip the dumbbells. I just pray in tongues and my muscles will get bigger. But when I pray in tongues, you know what happens? Nothing to my body as far as growth goes. I'm not building up. But what I'm doing is I'm charging or edifying or building up the real me. What am I doing? Making the inward man, which we just read in Romans 8, that we can mortify or put to bed or crush or put to naught the deeds of the flesh through the spirit. But if your spirit's a little wimpy little thing in there and your flesh is loud, it's going to dominate it. Amen. Imagine putting, and this is what Christians do in life, the devil is a skilled stealer, skilled killer, and skilled destroyer. Been doing it for thousands of years. He's good at what he does. Imagine putting, you remember when Mike Tyson was in his heyday? My first speeding ticket ever was going to a Mike Tyson fight on pay-per-view, not there. Thank God the judge knew my dad and I got out of it. Oh, man, thank God for who you know. A lot of life is who you know. But anyways, I was going and Mike Tyson stepped in that ring. And I mean, I'd be scared just watching him. I mean, he just pummeled people, right? And you get in there, and he wasn't scrawny. He wasn't sickly looking. What had Mike Tyson done before getting into the ring in those fights? He spent time in the gym. He spent time training his body. He spent time building himself up. Now, can you imagine if you put somebody in there that's malnourished, that hasn't eaten, in months, hadn't eaten the healthy foods in months, put it in against Mike Tyson? Take somebody from 6 months out and say, we're not going to feed you right, no gym time, no workout time, no hitting the punching bag, going against somebody that's eating right, training right, building their body up. Mike Tyson would knock him out. It wouldn't even be close. And what are Christians doing? Going out into the world, run by the spiritual devil of a Mike Tyson. I mean, he's nastier than Mike Tyson ever is. And we're going out there, and we're weak spiritually, and the devil's a spirit. And the devil comes against us, and we try to fight against him. Could you imagine? I mean, it wouldn't matter if I was in the gym for 6 months going against Mike Tyson, but it would be even worse if you weren't able to work out, weren't able to eat right, and you go in there scrawny. Imagine trying to fight against that. Not going to win. Not going to be successful. And Christians go out unedified, no power, not built up. Why? Don't take time speaking in other tongues, because the Bible says the way you build yourself up, charge yourself, your spirit man, the realm. Why can't I get past that addiction? Your spirit's not bigger than your flesh. It's the only reason. Your flesh is louder than that. Now, that's no condemnation. Listen, no condemnation. We all have things we're working on. Amen? We all have areas we're growing in. But the reason you can't defeat that habit or that addiction is simply because your flesh is louder than your spirit man. But the Bible says that you'll mortify the deeds of the flesh through the spirit. If you can get your spirit man bigger than your flesh, instead of your flesh pummeling you, you'll start pummeling your flesh. And Paul, who was not led by emotions or feelings, and who said, I pray in tongues all the time. Remember what he said about his body? Do y'all remember what Paul said about his body? He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection. What did he say? My body doesn't rule me. I bring my body into subjection. The Amplified, I believe it's the Amplified, says, by blow, I buffet my body. By strike after strike. What's he saying? When my body wants to do the wrong thing, bam, I tell it no. Even though it doesn't feel good to tell it no, even doesn't want to. How was he able to overcome his flesh? Because he was always praying in tongues. He told us that. That means he was always, go back to verse 4, 14, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, please. Sorry. But thank you for going there. He said, like a boxer. While you're going there, like a boxer, I buffet my body. What's he saying? Well, Mike Tyson, when he's training, doesn't just eat anything he wants to. Doesn't just wake up anytime he wants to. Doesn't just do anything he feels. What? He does what's right for his body. Well, Paul says, I don't let my body rule me. Well, why are most Christians ruled by their body? Simple. The thing that's supposed to dominate the body, the spirit, Romans 8 and verse 13, remember it says, you through the spirit will mortify the deeds of the flesh. Your spirit man's little. That's the only reason. Paul said, my body wants to eat that? No. My body wants to say that? No. My body wants to go there? No. My body wants to look at that? No. How was he able to do that? He that speaks in another tongue edifies himself, builds up, charges up. Think about it. He said, I pray in tongues more than y'all. What's he always doing? He's always connected to the supernatural dunamis power pack. That's what he's doing. Amen. That's your answer to those addictions. That's your answer to that fleshly problem that's been keeping you down. So when you pray in tongues a lot, it pushes the flesh down, the mind down. It enhances the spirit. So now when the still small voice speaks and your body's quieter and your mind's quieter, you can hear God. Amen. I'll tell you, this is good stuff. Go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. Looking at the benefits, also why it makes your spirit more sensitive. Look at what he says here. Now I'm amazed. Real quick, because drop down to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 27. Because last week we also showed you that Jesus said anybody that believes can speak in tongues. Peter, when he was explaining tongues, said this gift is for you and for anyone that the Lord our God should call. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 5, I wish that y'all would speak in tongues. Yeah, he didn't say, I wish that you could all speak with tongues. He said, I wish y'all would do it. But because the Spirit of God just prompted me to say this, I don't have this in my notes, but I came up out of my heart, I want to obey this. It says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27, now you are a body of Christ and members in particular. So what is the context of what the next verse are going to talk about? The body of Christ and the different members in the body of Christ. Remember that now. It's important. So he says, your body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church. Some what? Members. People, right? We're all members of the body of Christ. Some are an arm, some are a hand, some are fingers, some are eyes, some are nose, some are ears, some are legs, some are toes, right? We're all different members of the body. And he says, so we're talking about the body of Christ, and God has set some in the church. And now he goes on and says what the members of the body, what roles they fulfill. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, people that perform work miracles, gifts of healings, people that perform gifts of healings. Remember, it's not talking about the gift of healing, it's talking about the person that operates in that office, because what's he talking about? The members of the body. Okay? Because this is where the denominations will shut tongues down and will stand and build their case on and write books and have seminars and conferences that you are not to speak in tongues, that it's not for today, because the Bible says no. Let's find out. Thirdly, teachers, gifts of healings, miracles, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And now he says in verse 29, remember, what's the subject? The body of Christ. Are all apostles in the body of Christ? No. Is your body all an arm? An apostle is just a part of the body, but it's not the whole body. So what's the obvious answer to that question? Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. A prophet's different than an apostle. An arm's different than a leg, but thank God for the arm and thank God for the leg. Amen. Are all teachers? The obvious answer is no. We're talking about the body of Christ. You can't have a whole body of noses. Yeah. Are all workers of miracles? No. Not everybody works miracles. Do all have gifts of healing? The obvious answer still is no. Do all speak with tongues? Now here we go. If all the other answers where obviously no, why would this be any different? It wouldn't be. Do all speak in tongues? The obvious answer, in line with everything he just said, the answer is no. Do all interpret? Now, the denominations will brainwash people and say, see, not everybody's to speak in tongues. The Bible says that not all speak in tongues. But there's different types of tongues and uses of tongues. Paul talked about praying in tongues. Well, what did Jesus say about prayer? When you go into your closet, shut the door. Well, what's he talking about? We also pray in church, but we also have, hopefully you have a relationship or a prayer life outside the walls of the church in private. And Paul said, I wish that you'd all pray in tongues. I wish that y'all, so if the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the workers of miracles, and the gifts of healings are all talking about members of ministry things in the body of Christ, he's not going to all of a sudden go out of context and start talking about individual prayer lives. When he's talking about do all speak in tongues, if you go back to the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one of the gifts of the Spirit is tongues and interpretation of tongues. So the answer is, does everybody in the body of Christ stand in the office where they can operate in the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues? The answer is no. Do all speak with tongues? There are ministers. I've been in their meetings. I've received from them future things revealed, present things revealed, that they'll speak in tongues, ministry gift, and then they may interpret it, they may not, but somebody else interprets it. Why? Someone else stands in that office, has that ministry gift operate in their life. But does everybody have the ability to interpret a tongue? No. If you did, I could speak in tongues right now, and you'd know exactly what it meant, but you can't unless God reveals it to you. So in that verse, when you have somebody tell you, you know that the Bible says not everybody will speak in tongues. That's correct. Not everybody will be used in the ministry gift of speaking in tongues. But Jesus said that everyone that believes can speak in tongues. Hey, Peter said it's for everybody in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 down 37 through 41. So don't let religion, if you have questions about stuff like that, Pastor, but what about this verse? But what about this verse? Hallelujah. It's all in there if you'll take time to look at it. Praise God. Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians 14, 2. I tried to get there, and the Holy Ghost interrupted me. See, the Holy Ghost is like Abby. I told you, they are exactly alike. Oh, man. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. This past week, we tried to go to a couple baseball games down in Pittsburgh. We took kids down to see my beloved Cubbies, you know, and they all got their Pittsburgh Pirate gear on and went to the game. And this was the big test, you know, to see if Abby next year is going to decide to stay with her grandparents or come on the trip with us. And I'll tell you what, when she was stuffing her face with cotton candy, when she was stuffing her face with the pizza and the ice cream, oh, the game was great. Soon it was over. She said, next year I'm staying with Grandma and Grandpa. I said, what? You carnal little thing, you. Oh, man, she couldn't stand the game, man. She's done with the game. She was wearing pirate gear head to toe, and she was yelling when the Cubs were up, hit it out of the park! Hit it out of the park! And the next pitch, the guy sailed one into left field, and all the pirate fans looked at her and said, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm sorry, she's confused. She's confused. Pray for her. That's a true story. But that's like Abby interrupted me, so I have to get back to what I'm saying now. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but unto God. Why does that mean anything? Well, don't you remember Commissioner Gordon? Had the bat phone. What was the bat phone? Hey, we don't have to go through normal means of communication. Nobody else can hear this. I just hit the button and man, Batman picks up. Tongues is not meant for human ears. Tongues is not meant for angels' ears. Tongues is not meant for the devil's ears. Tongues is a privilege that gives you the opportunity to have a private prayer connection line directly to your Father. He that speaks in tongues doesn't speak to men, but unto God. What a privilege. What a privilege. He's the father of spirits. Now, you all remember the story in Daniel chapter 10. Remember in Daniel chapter 10, what's the big deal? I truly believe this, that one of the reasons the devil fights speaking in tongues so much is because of this right here. Because when you pray in English, how many of you know when you need to have a financial need and you confess your faith and release your faith for that, how many of you know the devil hears that? And he understands that, right? And so what does the devil do? Now, your faith will always win, but the devil can hinder. Remember over there in Daniel chapter 10 where Daniel prayed and his prayers were hindered by the devil? The devil heard what Daniel was praying, and the devil sent his messengers to hinder that thing and delay it. Well, the same reason your mind kicks and screams when you pray in tongues is the same reason the devil kicks and screams when you pray in tongues, because he doesn't know what you're saying. And that drives him nuts. Because how can he scheme and put things in front of you and get in your way if he can't understand what you're saying? In World War II, they had things, people from the Navajo Indians called code talkers, that they were trained in the military. I believe it was about 400 or 500 of them that would come into the military, and they would send the messages over the airwaves, you know, that when the enemy's trying to listen into, if you speak them in English, well, they got someone over there in their camp that knows English and can interpret and say, hey, we're going over here. Well, I heard they're going over here. Let's go over there. They're going to do this, or this is going on. Well, you get someone on there, and they don't have any Navajo Indians in their camp. And so the Navajo Indians, you look up, they made a movie about it, Code Talkers. And they would send the transmitted messages in the Navajo language, and the enemies were like, what in the world are they saying? We can't understand. Wah, wah, wah. That's what your mind does when you pray in tongues. Wah, wah, wah. What are you saying? I want to be in on it. That's why the devil fights something that was so approved of Jesus. First thing he told the disciples after before he went to heaven, the last thing he said is, get filled with the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues. I command you to do it. But yet it's swept under the rug and not even talked about in most of the places in churches. They don't even want that Holy Ghost business. And Jesus said, you can't live without this. And Paul said, I pray in tongues all the time. And yet Christians are preaching seminars and writing books of how it's wrong and how it's against God. And the Bible says when you pray in tongues, you're speaking to God. When does that go out of style? When does that expire? It never does. Amen. And what an opportunity and privilege to pray to keep the devil out of it, keep people out of it, just you fellowshipping with the Father. Hoo-wee. Praise God. Stay in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. This ought to stir you up to pray more in tongues. Amen. You know, the Bible said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4, he that speaks in his own tongue edifies himself. You know it's your job to stay edified? If you're not edified, it's your own fault. He told you how to get edified, how to get power, how to get plugged into the spiritual power pack, pray in tongues. We wonder why in the world was Paul able to be in prison and write, rejoice in the Lord always, again say rejoice. Why was Paul being able to be beat in Macedonia, thrown in prison, and rejoicing at midnight, stripped down naked and beat in prison, and rejoicing and singing praises to God? He's built up. He's charged up. How could Paul stand there when the prophet Agabus said, if you go to Jerusalem, he rips out his belt, binds his own self, and says, so will be the man, and what will happen to the man that goes to Jerusalem? The prophet told him, you go to Jerusalem, you're about to encounter some real bad things. How could Paul override his mind, override his flesh, and go do the will of the Lord? His spirit's bigger. Why? He's always praying in tongues. He's always edified. He's always charged up. Amen. Well, I'm short with my spouse. You're not built up. To be filled with the Holy Ghost, to be filled with God, God is love. If you're short and getting chippy and getting mad and holding grudges, you're just not built up. It's truth. Amen. Verse 2, he says, he that speaks in unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit. When you pray in tongues, the Bible says, in the Spirit, you're speaking forth mysteries. Mysteries. Now, you have to understand this. Nothing is a mystery to God. Nothing's a mystery to him. But didn't the Bible say the Holy Ghost would show us things to come? Well, the things to come are the mysteries, right? Nothing's a mystery to him. It's a mystery to us. What's a mystery to you? What's going to happen a year from now? What am I supposed to do about this situation I don't have the answer to? What about this? What about this situation? Those are mysteries. Those are mysteries. And Tuesday, what you're going to see, you have to pair what I'm about to say with what I'm going to say Tuesday. You're going to see that without prayer, it doesn't matter. Well, I'll say it this way. What's a mystery is the plan of God for your life. You might know in part and see in part, but I bet you don't know 3 years from now, 2 years from now. What does God have for me? Those are mysteries. Do you know what an advantage it is to know the future before the future comes? That's an advantage. To know that before you sign that, don't sign that thing. Before you take that venture, don't do that. Or, oh, I don't know if I should do that. And the Holy Ghost is saying, do it. To know it is an advantage that the world doesn't have. Amen. Those are mysteries. That's the plan of God. Well, God might have a plan for you with things up ahead, just like God has a plan for salvation. But if you don't cooperate, it doesn't mean it'll come to pass. You got to pray these mysteries out. Well, how do you pray them out? You speak in tongues. Praying out the mysteries, praying out the mysteries, praying out the mysteries. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Let's go there real quick. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. See, if you take time to pray in tongues, you know what you access? Revelation on those mysteries. What to do. And then you act on it and gain comes to your life. Increase comes to your life. Many people, I don't know how many people know this or not. Of course, the ones that have been here with us for a while know this. That the Rock of Revelation Church on 1009 Griffin Street. Pastor of that church, former pastor, Pastor West came to our church and said, I got a building to show you. I had peace in my heart to go see it. I went and saw the building. I walked into the building and I knew by the Holy Ghost I was to buy that building. I knew it. And I didn't tell that to Pastor West at first. I said, well, I'm gonna pray on this. Always kick it around in prayer because I can miss God. Amen. It's always good to be humble, know you can miss God, and just kick it around in prayer. And I knew, 100% supposed to buy that building. Well, where I got into error was we were looking for a building. We're in the warehouse, and I just assumed we're going to have that building. But I'll just be completely honest with you, nothing against the building. When I walked into the building, I didn't like the building. I didn't like the building for church. It wasn't set up. It had no elevator. It had stairs, and it just needed a lot of work. I didn't like it, but I had such peace to buy the property. And so I announced it to the church. We got our building, and I repented to you guys too and said, I miss God. Amen. Don't treat me any less than you want to be treated when you miss God. It's a truth. Amen. No one's claiming up here to be perfect. But when we went to, I didn't like the building, and I went and told Corey, I said, I don't understand this. I don't even like this building, but I know we're supposed to buy it. I just assumed in my head, you're looking for a church? You find a church, God tells you to buy a church, you have church there. And the day we closed on the building, the Holy Ghost spoke to me so clearly in my spirit and said, you will not have one service in this building. I said, what? I've been announcing this. Pastor Scott's got a list on Amazon ready to order thousands of dollars worth of stuff to fix this thing up. Y'all remember, most of you remember it. And the Holy Ghost said that. Oh, dear Lord. I assumed. Now, either I didn't take the time and assume, or the Lord didn't show it to me. I believe I was in the wrong, but he didn't tell me that specifically. I believe that. I'm always hard around myself, so that could be me swaying that. But either way, we weren't to have church there, and I was wrong about that. And so I had a meeting with Pastor Wes immediately, and because he sold it to us for what they had in it, you know, what they had left for it, which was very nice of him. That's what the Lord told him to do. He obeyed God, I obeyed God. And I said, Pastor Wes, I did not see this come. I said, and it was the day we closed on the property, and I got the keys. I said, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. I'm not going to have church in this building. And I told Pastor Wes, I said, here's what I'll do, because I told you. I said, we'll give you the building back. And I said, I'll give it back to you for what we bought it for, what you already had in it. I said, I'll pay the closing costs. And I told him, I said, I'll pay for the next 6 months of the mortgage on this, because I didn't want it to look like I bought the building to sell it and make money. That was not my heart at all. And I said, I want you to know that I had no idea until today. And I had met him for lunch that day. I said, well, because, I mean, you know, it's important to have integrity and character. Amen. And if it's going to cost a little bit of money to stay above board, I don't care. Lord will make that up. And so I said, we'll pay the closing costs. I said, we can use my lawyer. We'll pay the closing costs. And 6 months of rent, will just, and you can have it right back, and you can sell it for whatever the building's worth, because he sold it to us under the impression we're going to have church there. He said, no. He said, God told me to sell it. It's a blessing to me that it's sold, because he had, we were already helping them with the rent helping to pay and things. And so, anyways, in saying all that, how in the world did Pastor Mike know? Because if we move into that building, guess what? We forfeited. We would have. And nothing against that building. This is far superior. Far more excellent. It just is. And but how in the world, because Reverend Greer said to me, the prophet of God, said, I'm going to tell all my friends about you, Pastor Mike. I said, why? He said, I've never seen a pastor buy a church building when they need a building and then not use it. I thought he was criticizing me. And I said to him, I said, sir, as far as I know, I follow. He goes, no, you didn't miss it. He said, that's not why I was saying it. He said, thank God you know how to follow the Holy Ghost. Well, then when he said that, the Holy Ghost revealed to me why we bought it. And it was more for Pastor Wes and the Rock of Revelation Church than it was for us. Amen. It just was. It blessed them, helped them, got them out of some things. It totally freed them up from that building. But how in the world would I know after telling people we're going to have church, getting people excited about a building, because at least it was ours to call our own. How in the world do I have the guts to stand up and say, we're not going to have church there? Yeah, I bought it, but we ain't going to have church there. God has a building of strategic and excellent location for us. Now, there's some things behind the scenes that you all don't know about strategic and excellent location, that there's some people and some things that need to get a revelation of why we're here, that they're not here, and some things that will lead to some dominoes falling in this place. But we'll just keep praying that, and they'll get the revelation. It'll come to pass. But strategic and excellent location is what Lord had for us. And I said, I stood up and told you, we're going to have our building. We call Griffin Street sold. But how can I do that? That was such a mystery. Because naturally, you're doing it. Praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. And the Lord revealed a mystery to me that what? Saved our skin. Yeah. I could go into story after story after story after story after story after story. How did I know to not raise $100,000 for the sprinkler system at South Dayton that the contractors were saying we needed, that the New York State courts were saying that we were going to need, that the building code enforcement guy said we were going to need, and that the contractor said we're going to need, and I'm not raising money, and they're starting the process and saying, we need this money. I'm saying, nope, they're going to change the laws. Yeah. How do I know? Prayed it out in tongues, and God revealed a mystery to me. But okay, well, we'll believe for the thing to turn, and it turned in New York State courts. It turned. We didn't have to have it. How did that happen? Well, call unto me. Well, when you pray in tongues, guess what you're doing? Talking to him. Amen. He said, I'll answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things. What's that? Your plan, your path, that you know it's not. Please pull that up in the Amplified. I'm getting excited. Glory. Hallelujah. Amplified. Call to me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things. What are great and mighty things? Fenced in and hidden. What are those called? Mystery. Which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of and understand. What's he saying? If you call unto me, well, how do we call him? Can call him in the New Testament? One way we can do it, speaking in tongues. He said, mysteries will come forth. That's the way I live my life right there. Praise God. The mysteries. I got to finish this up. My time is slipping away here. Go to Romans 8 and verse 26. We'll close with this. Romans 8:26. What did we talk about in the very first service of this series? We talked about God's path or plan is what you want. That's the good life, prearranged, made ready for you to live. That's getting off of your way and doing it God's way. That's where the money is. That's where the peace is. That's where the protection is. That's where the favor is. That's where the blessing is. Amen. But we also know this, that there are things on God's path and plan for us, decisions that we need to make at times, that are unknown to us. Well, I told you how to pray out the unknown. But look at this now, what the Bible says in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. Now, that's not talking about sicknesses, it's talking about weaknesses. Well, what's a weakness that we have? He's going to tell us what the weakness is in verse 26. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. He's saying the weakness we have is at times We don't know what to pray for. Well, didn't I talk about that earlier? All of a sudden, God wakes you up and you have a face on your heart. That a family member, a friend, and you know they're going through something. It's like, what do I do? Do I go down through the list of every possible problem in life and confess and release my faith for that? It's impossible to do. I had somebody call me one time. They said they were on a tractor. They said, Pastor Mike, I've been trying to get a hold of you all day. Pastor, God laid, I've never had it so strong. God laid on my heart that I need to pray for you. I need to pray for you now. But I couldn't get a hold of you to find out what was needed. You didn't need to get a hold of me to find out what was needed. Because if they would have called me that day and said, Pastor Mike, Lord said, you're going through something, and I need to pray for you right now. I would have said, brother, honestly, I have no idea what you're talking about. Maybe it was something up ahead. Maybe it was something that was coming down the pipeline. I would have said, I don't know what you're talking about. Things are good as far as I know. Thanks for scaring me. That's what I would have said. I don't know. But this is when you're unskilled. You don't know. This is what you do. What about when you get a nation on your heart? I don't have time for all the stories, but stories of soldiers in other countries that were in a battle, and they got on their heart and they prayed, and they find out later that at that moment they were spared and their life was saved and accidents were averted and things. It's real stuff. I remember coming home one day from, I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost because I was driving my mom's new car. I don't know why I had it. Oh, I do know why I had it. I think one of our vehicles was in the shop, so she let me borrow it. And it was a brand new car, and I'm coming home the back way. I like to go the back roads. You know, I try to find the most country roads there are and just go. I like to look for deer and all the fun stuff, all the fun things. And I'm driving down the road. This is early on in South Dayton. And I don't know how this happened naturally. A deer came out and was coming right for me, and that thing literally jumped over top, and I'm waiting to hear the sound of it hit this car, and it never hits the car. And I'm going like 60, 65 miles an hour, a little too fast in this back road, you know, but I mean, it was Sunday afternoon, I was hungry. So y'all understand what was going on there. It's just a true story. And so I'm going, it didn't never hit. I thought, that's a miracle. There's no way naturally that should have happened. I get home and I tell Court, and she says, man. She said, I was leaving the church. And she said, I'd never experienced this before, but it was on my heart so strong to pray for your safety driving home. I said, thank God you did. You think, well, things just automatically happen. No, you're going to find out on Tuesday that when people don't pray and don't release the faith for their life, they don't get what they should get. They get things they shouldn't get and don't want. But Romans 8:26 says, the Spirit helps our infirmity. What's our infirmity? We don't know what to pray for. There's times we don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray for that situation. So he says, but the Spirit itself, I love that the translators calls him an it here. The Holy Ghost is not an it. The Bible calls him a him. The Spirit himself, notice this, makes intercession for us. What's that mean? We don't have to know. He does it for us. How does he do it? With groanings that cannot be uttered or understood. Kind of sounds like an unknown tongue. Unknown language, Paul said. So the Bible says that the Holy Ghost, when farmer so-and-so's on his tractor and gets an urgent message, pray for Pastor Mike now, but God's not telling him what it is. God's not showing him what it is. He calls me and I don't have a clue what it is. Farmer Brown's out of luck unless Farmer Brown has the Holy Ghost and can pray in tongues. And then Farmer Brown can say, Holy Ghost, I don't know what it is, but I thank you according to Romans 8 and verse 26, you make intercession for me according with groanings that cannot be understood. So I thank you, Holy Ghost, when I pray in tongues, this situation is taken care of. Now, you say, how can you be sure? Well, remember the Bible says that the Holy Ghost is our helper. Let's say this pulpit weighs a lot more than it does, and I just can't do this, you know, and it's five times the weight, you know, and I'm just really struggling. And I say, Jake, will you come help me move this pulpit? When I say to Jake, come help me move this pulpit, and he agrees to it, he's signing up as my helper. Jake's not going to walk up here when Pastor Mike says, help me on that, walk up here and say, all right, Pastor, let's do this. Or, I'm ready. No, Jake's going to come up as my helper and get on the other side of this pulpit. So you say, how do I know the Holy Ghost is praying for what I need? He's your helper. Holy Ghost, I have someone's, Pastor Mike's on my heart. Holy Ghost, help me to pray for him. How's he going to help you pray for him? You pray in tongues. He gives you the words. That's what praying in tongues is. The Holy Ghost gives your spirit the utterance. You don't make up the words. The Holy Ghost gives you the words. You pray them out. Pastor Mike, what's he need? I don't know what he needs. I can't get a hold of him. I'm not sure what he's going through. I called him. He doesn't even know, but I know I'm supposed to pray for him. Holy Ghost, help me. Holy Ghost is going to come on the other side of that prayer and help you. Amen. With groanings that cannot be understood. Now notice what it leads to. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints. For the saints. Now notice this. According to the will of God. How can you pray out God's perfect will for your life? Pray in tongues. How can you pray out the perfect will of a situation that you don't know what's going on? You pray in tongues. Don't look at me that way. Be happier than you are. Amen. You know, don't let Abby look at me that way. Caleb, look at me that way. No, 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 you're going to be happy. You're going to leave here happy. We tell them, their kids aren't allowed to have temper tantrums. They're not allowed to have attitude problems. That is unacceptable, and it's not allowed here either. So you all smile at me. Right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, last but not least, let me finish this portion of Scripture. So he says, he makes intercession according to God's perfect will. So the Spirit will help us with groanings that cannot be understood. When we pray in tongues, we are confident that we are praying out the absolute perfect will for that situation. When you pray in the mind, you better hit it right, because 1 John 5:14 says, he only hears the things that are prayed according to his will. Well, if you don't know what God's will is for a situation, what are you left to do? Make it up or not pray at all? No. Take off in tongues. Amen. And it says, and we know that all things work together for the good. See, people quote this verse all the time out of context. They go through something, they say, well, all things work together. Yeah, if you're praying in tongues. That verse is on the heels of praying out the will of God. When the will of God is prayed out and walked into, then all things work together for your good. Amen. Amen is right. And we know, what does tongue talking lead to? All things working out for your good. Why? Because you're praying out God's perfect will. You're praying out God's perfect plan. You're praying out the mysteries of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, if this doesn't make you a crazy tongue talker, I don't know what will. I need to come back there and check your spiritual pulse. Amen. Now, I'm going to give people an opportunity to come receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Jacob, you got it this week, didn't you? I had the pleasure of leading Jacob in a service. I'll tell you a funny story about Jacob. Jacob is Jake's son, and he first week back, and I haven't seen you in years. He was at South Dayton last week, and Pastor Michael was ministering to him and said, Have you been filled the Holy Ghost? Do you speak in tongues? And Jacob said, oh, and I heard Pastor Michael say, what church do you go to? And he said, South Dayton. And I looked at him, and I turned to the pastor sitting next to me and said, I don't know this person. They say, I turned to Pastor Jeff at the Maple Church. I said, I don't know who that is. He just said he goes to my church. I've never seen that person in my life. And I didn't recognize it. I just thought it was just another usher. And I saw Jake standing next to me, and then the common sense kicked in. I tell you, I like it sometimes. And then 1 + 1 happened. I thought, oh, that's Jake's son. I said, Pastor Michael, that's Jake's son. And he said, come on up. And we prayed and got filled with the Holy Ghost, didn't you? You received it. Was it hard, Jacob? Amen. No. Jacob believed. Jacob heard a little bit of the word. I told him a little bit of the word on it. And I said, you know, he had received Jesus in the service that morning in South Dayton. I mean, saved and filled the same day. Praise God. And the Bible says in Luke, it says, if you ask for the Holy Ghost, the Lord will give it. He'll ask. So I had Jacob pray a prayer after me and said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I believe in the gift of the Holy Ghost. I ask you to fill me with the Holy Ghost. When Pastor Mike lays hands on me, I'll be filled with the Holy Ghost, and I will open my mouth and speak with tongues. Now your mind will instantly start saying, well, how do I do that? It's not up here. You didn't have to figure it out, did you? Did it come right out of your belly? And he just took off praying in tongues instantly in that service. His life's changed forever. And I'm going to tell you right now, Jacob, this is true. Not to embarrass you, if you'll do exactly what your daddy did, you'll get exactly what your daddy got. I told your daddy at the Applebee's lunch, I said, Jake, do everything I tell you. And everything I told him was the word. And his life has dramatically changed. And brother, God has good things for you. Stay planted. Do the word. Pray in tongues. You'll watch it come to pass. You'll watch it come to pass. So I'm going to give an opportunity. As I look around, I know that everyone in this building is born again. We're just going to close our eyes and worship God. We're not going to look. If you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in our tongues, just come forward. Brandy, go ahead and put something about that name on there. And now we'll just worship God and give people opportunity to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you. Now, there's no pressure. But I will say this, if you don't come up and receive it now, don't leave this message here and go out the rest of your life without power and without the ability to do this. Make an appointment with me. We'll go in the office to do this, but I'll tell you, it's easy to receive it in the company of other believers. It's easy. And now, I preached on praying in tongues and spoke about it, so it would not be out of order. For those of you that are filled with the Holy Ghost, just begin to lift your voice and pray in tongues. For those of you that are not filled with the Holy Ghost, just worship Him. And for those that want to receive this gift, come forward. I'll lay hands on you. God will fill you. You'll open your mouth and speak in Jesus' name. God, they say. No pressure, but I'll tell you, the anointing's here to receive it. If you want to receive this gift, just come forward. Both my children are filled with the Holy Ghost. They both speak in tongues. Praise God.